has been born King of the Jews. For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in and of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Well, I'm so thankful we found baby Jesus. Right? Isn't that great? Hayden, I'm sorry it was such a... Did you look at least? But you couldn't find him. Didn't even know he was missing. Yeah, all right, great. Well, we found him and he's present, and we are thankful for that. We get to look into where we are heading for 2015. The words out of Galatians give us a great opportunity to see what really took place when Jesus showed up. It was at the right time and at the very moment when the world found itself in great conflict. God's people found themselves not controlling their own destiny. They were in the midst of struggling between the political powers that were at hand and trying to hold on to the promises that they had heard some 400 plus, some 1,000 years before. And they were looking around and they were saying, "Is anything really ever going to change? Is there any hope for this world?" So the Apostle Paul comes and he reminds us in Galatians chapter 4 that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Paul speaks into the life of that early church and he says, "I want to remind you of your place. You are a part of something that goes beyond any conflict or any struggle or any obstacle that may be in your path." And if there's one thing that this world seems to be full of, it's struggles. It's misunderstandings. It's things that may start innocently enough, but then there becomes a great divide that happens, either in our thinking or in our relationships. And we wake up and we really wonder how it is that we ended up where we are. Paul spoke into the life of that early church, and they were just struggling to get going. It was a process to still be loyal to this message of Christ when the world seemed to care less about what was going on in that arena. We tried something new as a family on the Melquist side yesterday. And have you ever tried to keep a secret from the oldest members of your family? You know, you thought you were really trying to work up something so that it would really be a surprise to them. Well, that's how it was for Corrine's mom and dad. We didn't want them to be aware of all that was being planned. Well, normally we'd gather into a house somewhere, either the parents' house, David and Helen's house there in Buchanan, or maybe over in Gassaway. We even all, 20 of us, crammed in our house a couple times for the Christmas season. And you know how that goes. Everybody just sort of finds a place wherever they can. I think my nephew Logan was the most distraught. He couldn't sit on the stairs this year for his Christmas time. He's been sitting on the stairs for many years. Instead, we picked up the whole family and we took them to Gassaway, West Virginia, and entered into a campus that was just built in honor of Jesus. Gassaway Baptist Church can now actually seat all 750 folks that normally show up on a Sunday morning, but they can seat in one place at one time. $5 million complex that was built in Braxton County, and a beautiful structure that gives glory to God. Gym right next door, full facilities for youth and children and adults, elevator for both floors, and it is a great testimony to how God is continuing to move and work in the lives of His people. So we packed up the whole crew, and we drove up onto the new campus. And in their fellowship hall / gymnasium, we sat down together for our traditional Christmas meal. Wonderful time. They even brought in a tree. Of course, you can get trees on half price after Christmas. So, you know, that worked out really well. Brought in a tree, full decorations of the little tree, and had all of our presents underneath. And then we gathered the church chairs around a big old circle, and we got to exchange gifts. Well, we finished in fine fashion, although, you know, change is hard. Anybody have the tradition of everybody gets to unwrap all of their presents at the same time? Does anybody do it that way? I don't blame you. We tried it, and didn't just seem to be the best for me. I really like that. Does anybody, you open one gift, and then everybody opens one gift, and then you cycle back around? Does anybody do it like that? Oh, good. Okay, there are hands out there. Great. All right. So we tried a little bit different this time. We all opened ours together and all of yours, and then moved on from there. And it got to the very last thing, and then it said, now we have a surprise. David and Helen, you don't know about this, but we want you to go into the sanctuary, and we want to hear your grandchildren present the Christmas message. So we had a little mini concert. We had Miss Reagan Freeman from up in Moorfield who came in with her guitar. We first had Logan Moreland on tap. He writes his own songs, and he wrote a song about him and his brothers for Christmas. And so he sang us that song. He sang another one he wrote. Reagan sang a few that with her guitar. There was a praise team that gathered. One of the nephews is a preacher over in Buchanan, so he got up and he gave us a message on light. And then we had the trio of girls, David, Helen, and as daughters, Bronlin, Danielle, and Corrine all got up and they sang some songs for their mom and dad. And it was a glorious time. I've never heard a Southern Baptist pastor's wife shout before, but it came really close when Helen got to have an opportunity just to share. And she even said, I have waited 70 years to see what I just experienced. That my family could worship and praise the name of Jesus together. Beautiful. All things new. Different kind of ceremony, service, but yet one that was filled with significance and meaning. And I am sure you have similar stories. And then you may not have similar stories. Your families may not all agree. In fact, some of our families find themselves at odds with each other and don't even think about coming together in the same room together because of issues or problems. And so while this time of the year is a wonderful time, it also can bring things to the light that we just really wish we didn't have to bring to the light at all. I was sitting in the bank parking lot yesterday making a deposit for Code Blue Youth Alliance. I'm happy to report I got to put in $730 yesterday for Code Blue Youth Alliance. I'd been collecting a few checks along the way. They had done a 5K walk and got some extra pledges for that. And so I just kept adding it up and it kept getting higher. And I said, well, this is wonderful. I can pay the light bill. This is good stuff. So I turned in that deposit. In the meantime, I was listening to satellite radio. And I'd forgotten I had the radio dial turned to the Catholic station. Now, on Christmas Eve, we have a tradition at the Villers household where we wrap presents. I'm not sure it's so much a tradition as that's the only time left. So always on Christmas Eve, we're wrapping presents. So I turn on the TV and we get the midnight mass. It's never at midnight, though. Did you ever notice that? The one out in the Vatican, out in Rome? No. You get one from Wheeling right around midnight. It's sponsored by Wheeling Hospital. We were so gracious, they gave us the full show for that. But about 1 a.m., you get the one, the big one, from the Vatican itself. Well, I knew I was driving in late on Christmas Eve, so I had it turned over there, seeing if I could hear a little bit of it early, right? I didn't hear much except my daughter said, please change the channel, Daddy. This stuff, I don't know what it is, but I don't know what you're listening to. She said, I really wish you'd... Now, honey, we only do this once a year, so just hang on. It was high church music. They were singing, Gloria Patri in a way that, can only rival the angelic angels. Well, anyway, my radio was still on that on yesterday morning. So I'm over there, and I'm listening, and across it is this lady. She does a radio show called Mast Appeal. So I said, well, is that a play on word of, like, mass appeal? Her last name is Mast, M-A-S-T. So that's the name of her radio show. But she said, there are a lot of folks around this time where we celebrate and we think of all things new and we have all kinds of great things to look forward to. But in the midst of all that, there are some real issues in some families. There are broken relationships that need to be mended. And she said, it always reminds me of a story that she found many years ago called The Builder. And she says, I'm going to read it to you again, and I get to read it to you at this time. Once upon a time, two brothers who lived on adjoining farms fell into conflict. It was the first serious rift in 40 years of farming side by side, sharing machinery and trading labor and goods as needed without a hitch. Then the long collaboration fell apart. It began with a small misunderstanding, and it grew into a major difference, and finally exploded into an exchange of bitter words, followed by weeks of silence. One morning, there was a knock on John's door. He opened it to find a man with a carpenter's toolbox. I'm looking for a few days' work, he said. Perhaps you'd have a man do a few small jobs here and there. Could I help you? Yes, said the older brother. I do have a job for you. Look across the creek at that farm. That's my neighbor. In fact, it's my younger brother. Last week, there was a meadow between us, and he took his bulldozer to the river levee, and now there's a creek between us. Well, he may have done this despite me, but I'll go with him one better. See that pile of lumber curing by the barn? I want you to build a fence, an 8-foot fence, so I won't need to see his place anymore. Cool him down, anyhow. The carpenter said, I think I understand the situation. Show me the nails and the post hole digger, and I'll be able to do a job that pleases you. The older brother had to go to town for supplies, so he helped the carpenter get the materials ready, and then he was off for the day. The carpenter worked hard all that day, measuring, sawing, nailing. About sunset, when the farmer returned, the carpenter had just finished his job. The farmer's eyes opened wide. His jaw dropped. There was no fence there at all. It was a bridge. A bridge stretching from one side of the creek to the other. A fine piece of work, handrails and all. And the neighbor, his younger brother, was coming across, his hand outstretched. You're quite a fellow to build this bridge after all I've said and done. The two brothers stood at each end of the bridge, and then they met in the middle, taking each other's hand. They turned to see the carpenter hoist his toolbox on his shoulder. No, wait, stay a few days. I have a lot of other projects for you, said the older brother. I'd love to stay on, the carpenter said, but I have many more bridges to build. And when we think of the cross, that is in fact what the cross has done for us. It has built a bridge so that we could truly have new life. Jesus makes all things new. And there are opportunities in our life that come up. And I didn't pay Rakonda to say what she said even before we started today. It is an amazing opportunity for us to hear what forgiveness does. And many times we'll say, I'm not going to forgive until they come and ask me for it. It's on them. It's their issue. But Jesus says, I took on that opportunity first. I went to the cross so that you didn't have to. I forgave you so you then could be reconciled before God. So that propitiation could be made. It's a great big word that was studied in the Faith and Family class up in Sunday school. And Miss Sarah Ferguson made ornaments out of Scrabble tiles. Oh, did Sarah Poling make them? One of those Sarahs, sorry. Sarah Poling made these wonderful little ornaments out of Scrabble tiles. And I have the one hanging on my Charlie Brown Christmas tree that says propitiation. Now, buddy, that's a long scroll. It's about this big. And all it really means is someone provided a way for someone else. He made a way for us. And that way continues to be the cross. I would encourage you to think in terms of making all things new in your life as well. To have opportunity, not just on January 1st, 2015, but as we start our journey this day with the Lord, let's allow Him to make all things new in our life today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God of our ancestors, God of our children, we confess that we still do not see our neighbor as our kin. We do not see the people of the world as your children. We ignore our neighbors in need. We cut ties with those whom we disagree with and disfellowship those who are different from us. Forgive us for not acting as your children. Forgive us when we feel entitled over others and when we forget who our siblings are, that each one of us is important, beloved to you as your child. In the name of Jesus, our brother, our Redeemer, and our Savior, We pray all these things, and all God's people said, Amen.